greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading is going to be from Luke chapter 12. Let us pray as we come to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know what we need. We believe, Lord, that this Word will go forth because, Lord, there is something that you need to be fixed in us. And above everything, Lord, we thank you for Christ because, Lord, only in His merit can we stand before a holy God. So we pray, even Father, even now, that you will help us to understand your Word. We pray that, Lord, you will help both the speaker and the hearer, and that, Lord, at the end of the day, honor and glory will come to your name for Christ's sake. Amen. Luke chapter 12, I'm reading from NIV, verse 1 to 12. We'll just touch a few things. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trembling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner room, will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your heads are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men, he will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogue, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Amen. My message is entitled, "Beware of Hypocrisy." And I sought to break it in this way. Going to look first at the definitions and examples of hypocrisy. And then we're going to look at the futility or uselessness of hypocrisy. And then we're going to look at the antidotes against hypocrisy and some encouragements. This is a warning of our Lord unto his disciples. He says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, the word hypocrisy come from Greek hypocrisis, which means an act of playing a part on stage. And the person who's given to hypocrisy is called a hypocrite. I think this is very helpful. A hypocrisy, according to this definition, is a person who plays a part on stage. Now, we know actors, we know that they've got public life and private life. So a hypocrite or a person who's given to hypocrisy is having a public life and a private life that is not in accord. In other words, there is a discrepancy between your private life and your public life. So Jesus says to his disciples, beware of that. Or we can put it this way. Hypocrisy is when you have your life not in agreement with what is in your heart. A few verses come to my mind, like Psalm 55, verse 21. It says, his speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Now, that's a hypocrite. A person, when you look at them, they seem to show something, but actually in their hearts or in private, they've got something else. One stand-up comedian said that he does not mind his wife answering his phone. In fact, he encouraged men to allow their wives to answer their phones and open their email accounts. And when people were clapping and saying, now that's good, he said, yes, because I've got another phone and another email that she knows nothing about. Now that's hypocrisy. When you've got another life that people know nothing about, that is hypocrisy. Some definition says it's wearing a face not your own, or living a life not your own, like an actor. Actors live other people's lives, and then they go in private and live their own lives. So that's the thing that Jesus is warning us about, isn't it? That we must beware. We must beware of that. In other words, for Christians, what you see must be what you get, whether it's in public or in private. It must be the same. There must be a correspondence between what we see and what we get. I mean, from verse 2, he says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. What is hypocrisy? A hypocrite is a person who's got other things concealed. Jesus said those things are going to be disclosed. Or he says there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. So a hypocrite is a person who's got a hidden life, isn't it? A person that has got a life that only he knows about. Just like this guy who says there's another phone that nobody knows about. If you've got another life that is hidden, that's a hypocrite. Jesus says it's going to be disclosed. He continues, says, what you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, in verse 3. Now, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person who says some things in the dark, isn't it? A person that cannot, there's got some things that they only say in the dark, they cannot say in the light. Jesus says those things are going to be, they're going to be spoken in daylight. He says, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the rooftops. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person who whispers things in other ears. In other words, he's got ears that he can say things to that he cannot say in other ears. Does that not sound familiar? Where people are saying things, and when you come into the room, then they keep quiet. In other words, this set of ears are not supposed to hear what I'm saying. So how am I going to relate to this other, the person who's coming? I'm going to pretend that I was not saying anything. So the Lord is saying that is hypocrisy. He says, what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. A hypocrite is a person who says things in private rooms that they cannot say in public. I remember one pastor saying he's heard pastors say things in his kitchen table that they say they cannot say from the pulpit. And he's asking, why is it that I'm the only one who's saying this? They say, no, we cannot say that from a pulpit. We'll be fired. Now, that's hypocrisy. In other words, you'll pretend you believe this, when actually in reality you believe that. When you've got a certain set of ears, you are able to tell what you believe. But when you are in another context, you say other things. That is hypocrisy. So the Lord says, beware of hypocrisy. In fact, notice that he says, he calls it the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, if there are people that I would have expected that the Lord will get along with, were those religious leaders. Because you would think that these were the people who were already preparing the way for the Lord. But if there were people who got a lot of stick from the Lord, were the very same people. And part of the reason is that he accused them of being hypocrites. He says, for a show, they prayed long prayers. And their prayers were prayed at the crossroads where people could see, because it was for the show. Now, what's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person who does things for show, whose religion is for a show. When there is no one watching, they wouldn't bother. I mean, we talk about our personal devotions. A hypocrite is a person who's got only public devotion, no personal or private devotion. Because in private, there's no one watching. Everything is done for a show. So that's what Jesus did not like. That's why he says to his disciples, beware of hypocrisy. A story is told of some people who came to church one day. Some gunmen, they came with guns, and then they said, those who are for the Lord, one side, who are Christians, let them go one side. And a pastor and a few people, maybe five, went to that side. And then the people said, all of you, please go out. They were having guns. It is said that after they went, the gunman said, pastor, you can continue. This is your church. The hypocrites we've chased away. Now that's what East does, doesn't it? It gives superficial growth. I mean, churches are full of hypocrites, isn't it? But at the core of it, you find that actually the real people are fewer. And the rest is just superficial growth. Just like East will make the dough to look bigger than it actually is. That is hypocrisy. That's why, I mean, the Lord was not impressed. The Bible says, while the crowds were many, thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. Jesus was not impressed with that. He knew, but most of this is just hypocrisy. Are we like that? Sometimes it's called formalism. It's the same. Sometimes it's called ceremonialism. It's a heartless religion. One of the accusations that God had against Israel was that these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So we've got many people like that who worship the Lord with their lips. That is hypocrisy. Now, look at the uselessness of hypocrisy. Jesus tells us in verse 2 and 3, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the rooftops. The point is, who are you fooling? Because God sees everything, isn't it? He says everything is going to be revealed. There is a show on TV called Medical Detectives. People will commit some serious crimes, and then they will try to hide all evidence that leads back to them. And sometimes it will go a long distance, a long time, and it seems like they are getting away with it. And a small thing, maybe sometimes just a splatter of blood, will bring this thing tumbling down. They will follow this thing and follow it until the perpetrator is caught. And whenever I see that, I think of this verse. There is nothing that is hidden that will not be disclosed. Obviously, they will pat themselves on the ground, or on the back, as if we've done great things, science has done great things. But for me, it's always that there was always a witness. There was one who saw this thing. And he made sure that in all the things that you took away, there is something that you left that will bring this thing out. There is always a witness. And then God, in his own timing, he will reveal it. We believe the devil when he tells you, your secret is safe with me. It can't be safe because he is the deceiver, but he's also the accuser. He deceives you, and obviously he's going to accuse you. So if he tells you that your secret is safe with me, shouldn't believe that, because he's going to want to accuse. So to want to accuse, you must make sure that everything is revealed. The only question is, when is it revealed? If it's revealed now, I think that is grace, isn't it? Because you can still repent, you can still recover. But it's going to be a problem if you would seem to be getting away with it until it is revealed at the last day. So those things that you visit when everyone else is asleep, when you are assured that no one is going to see, it's grace if God will make sure that that thing is revealed. You can still recover. You can still repent and find grace. But Jesus is showing here that it is futile, it is useless. I mean, Paul says in the last days, he says people will continue to deceive and be deceived. Will continue to deceive. And when you deceive, actually the person who is deceived is you. Because if people do not see, if people do not know, you would think that no, it's all covered. At the end of the day, only to find that actually you are the one who has been deceived. God has been watching all of it. He knows all of it. Jesus says there is nothing that is hidden that will not be disclosed. I think that's the reason. Therefore, we need to bring it all to Christ, isn't it? He understood our temptations. He was tempted in every way, but without sin. He was the only one who was not a hypocrite. In fact, if we follow these definitions, if we follow what Jesus Christ is showing us here, I think we will agree that all of us, we are hypocrites to a certain extent, isn't it? There is no one who can say, I'm not a hypocrite. There is no one who can say, I mean, what I say in public, that's what I want people. I mean, people talk about putting your best foot forward. What is that? Is it not hypocrisy? Why not put any other foot? Why are you having different feet that you can put the best one forward? And most of, just like actors, the one that you put in public is not the real who. The one that is behind, that's the real who. So when you put the best foot forward, the one that is remaining, that's who you are. So you are deceiving with this one. So are we not like that? People talk about being nice, meaning that you must not tell it the way you feel it. You must not say exactly what you believe. Say, no, that's not nice, be nice. What they actually mean is that pretend to be nice, because you are not nice. So when we look at that, we realize we all are hypocrites. That's why we all need to go to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, and ask that God will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. But this passage also gives us the antidotes, the cure for hypocrisy, from verse 4. Because what is the source of hypocrisy? Is it not the fear of men? I mean, what is it that makes a Christian to pretend he is not a Christian? Is it not because they fear men? Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. In other words, an antidote against hypocrisy is to replace that fear of men with the fear of God, isn't it? Why? Because man, there is limited thing that he can do. They can only, the worst they can do is to kill your body. After that, they can do nothing. I mean, there are photos that have been circulating of the persecuted church where people are lying down to be killed by the Muslims. Even babies, children were put there so that they will be executed. And I was looking at this and I was like, but the thing that is comforting here is that after that bullet, there's nothing else they can do. The only thing they can do is to usher these people into the presence of God. After that, there's nothing else they can do. Jesus Christ is saying, you fear men, yes, but notice that he can only do so much. After that, he can do nothing. But God on the other side, when he has thrown you into hell for 1,000 years, he has not yet finished. He has just started. So that's the person to fear. Verse 5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So that's the first antidote against hypocrisy. Replace the fear of man with the fear of God. But the second antidote is realizing that there is nothing that can happen to you that God has not allowed. Notice verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. I mean, these birds, these sparrows, they are so cheap that you buy 2, you get 5, you get 3 for free. So you get 5. That's how cheap they are. But it tells us that not one of them is forgotten by God. Somewhere it says, not one of them can fall without God permitting it. So are you not more valuable than sparrows? In fact, just from creation point of view, you are more valuable than sparrows. And especially if you are saved by the blood of Christ, are you not more valuable? So God says, nothing that can happen to you that has not been allowed by God for his own purposes. Again, those pictures where the babies are put there to be executed. God has allowed it. And the Bible says he will not allow anything where he will not give us even the grace that goes with that, isn't it? So whatever he gives, sometimes I used to wonder, when I hear about people being martyred for their faith, I used to wonder about myself, will I be able to stand? But here is something that is an encouragement, is that when God expose you to that, he's going to give you sufficient grace to go with that. So the reason that those people are exposed to that is because God has given them the power that goes with that. So there's no reason for hypocrisy, is there? It says, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. But what is the danger of hypocrisy? I think the danger of hypocrisy is that what we get in verse 8, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. First danger is that Jesus is going to treat us the way we treat him, isn't it? Because in our hypocrisy, we disown him. We do not acknowledge him. We act as if he does not exist, as if we are not his people. So Jesus Christ says, if we continue in that way, he's going to treat us that way. He's going to disown us. And it will have eternal consequences. So we should not disown him or acknowledge him. But notice also in verse 10, the danger of hypocrisy is that we expose ourselves to the unforgivable sin. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, I know that's a bit of a controversial verse as to what exactly is this verse or maybe this sin that is not forgivable. I believe is what we get in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 4. it says it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. I believe that that is what is meant by the unforgivable sin, the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if we agree, if we take that, this is the person who has been in church, who has shared in everything, and they fall away. The Bible says it is impossible that they will be brought back. I think Jesus Christ is saying that if we act hypocritically, in a sense that we disown him, there come a time when God will give us what we do. In other words, he will give us to do exactly that. So he's going to disown us. So that's the danger that you get when you are hypocritical. Basically, the point is that you must be what you say you are. If you play church, it's a very dangerous thing to do. We must not play church. It's either we must be Christian or we must not. Because if we play to be Christian, what we get is that at some point, you'll find that you will reach a point of no return. But there is an encouragement, isn't it? There is an encouragement for those who are truly Christian. He says in verse 11, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. The point is that you've got no reason to be hypocritical, because what the Holy Spirit is going to take it from there. You don't need to defend yourself. You just need to be who you are. Anything else, you give it to God. So it's not like you worry about how you're going to defend yourself, because God is going to, if you are exposed to that time. So brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ says, beware of hypocrisy. It is dangerous. We must be what we say we are. People must be able to say, what you see is what you get. What this person says, that's what exactly they are. Other than that, we are all hypocrites. Now what must we do? How should we respond? As I said earlier on, if we have been hypocritical, Jesus' blood is sufficient, isn't it? The same blood of Christ, the atoning blood of Christ, he was paying even for the sins of hypocrisy. You can go back to God and ask for forgiveness. There is this hymn that I just discovered, and I felt it was great. And I'll just read a few stanzas, and I will finish with that. It says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. And since by faith I saw the stream of your flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and it shall be until I die. And when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing your power to save. To save even from hypocrisy. That is the blood of Christ. He is the only one who was truly unhypocritical. He was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. So when you go to him, he is willing to forgive, and he is willing to give you his righteousness so that you can be with him for all eternity. May God bless us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You know us utterly. You know everything that goes on in our minds, in our hearts. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you show us that we need not hide things, because, Lord, we can't hide them from you. We need to come to Christ. We need to trust in that atoning blood. We need to trust in his own merit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that may be true of all of us. And if there are any who are still outside of your kingdom, we pray, Lord, that you'll be merciful unto them. You will draw them unto you through Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.